Hey, if you guys don't know, I am traveling. I am in California, so it is bright and early at 4, so I know my setup isn't the same. I'm not in my studio, but nonetheless, we are going to have morning motivation today because, well, that's what we do. We show up, we're consistent. I did want to say that if morning motivation went up late yesterday, I apologize. It was set. Not sure what happened, but some people said that they were looking for it and didn't see it. So my bad, y'all. But I am here bright and early. So I hope you guys are doing well. Good morning, Grand Rising. Good morning, you guys. So today we are going to continue reading 9 Things Successful People Do Differently. This one, we're on the 9th chapter. So we're dang near done. So it says focus on what you will do and not what you won't do. So before that, we're going to go ahead and jump into our prayers. Good morning. Sorry, y'all, for the setup change. Some of you got, well, you guys should know now I'm traveling. I am not home, but we are still going to do morning motivation. So I'm going to do a quick prayer, and then I'm going to say my morning shout outs, and then we're going to get right into it. And so for those who normally stream on Facebook, y'all, sorry, we have in technical difficulties, but nonetheless, we are going to get the party started. So I'm a little dark this way. Let me turn this way. Let me know if you guys can hear me okay. Y'all, I'm a perfectionist, so my set, not having my setup is getting to me, but we are going to make it rock and shake regardless. Good morning, Valerie. All right, you guys, so we're going to do a quick prayer, morning shout outs, and then we're going to get started. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up again today. Thank you for allowing us to fellowship, come together, and grow in wisdom and discernment together. I ask for safe travels for anyone traveling, including myself and my family. And I pray that everybody gets a little nugget, a little gem this morning to take them along their day and prepare them for the rest of their day. In your darling son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And if you are not religious or spiritual or you do not believe in Christian beliefs, that is totally okay. You are welcome. I hope that it was okay that I prayed for you anyway. Good morning. So let me go ahead and do my shout outs. Good morning, Destiny. Good morning, Authenticating Beauty. Good morning, Felicia. Good morning, Patrice. Good morning, Sheamber. Good morning, Valerie. Oh, thank you. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Good morning, Sherelle. Good morning, such a lady. Good morning, Percy. Really, even under this lighting. Thank you. Good morning, Brittany. Good morning, Brandy. And for those who are in my coaching group, we are still having coaching this evening. I will send out the email, even though you guys should have it already, and all of that. Good morning. So we are in chapter 9, you guys. We are complete with 9 things successful people do differently, but well, we're almost done. We're focusing on the last chapter, which is focus on what you will do and not what you won't do. So let's just go run through the chapters and everything that we've already covered, just so everybody is nice and caught up. Good morning, Anaya. Good morning, you guys. So the first chapter we went over was get specific. The second one was seize the moment and act on your goals. The third chapter was know exactly how far you have to go. Fourth chapter was be realistic and optimist, be a realistic optimist. The fifth chapter is focus on getting better rather than getting good. The sixth chapter was have grit. The seventh was build willpower muscle. The eighth was don't tempt fate. And today we are focusing on what we will do and not what we won't do. So we're almost done. Last chapter. Good morning, Turquoise. Good morning, Ashley. Good morning, Chevy Chev. So we're going to dive into the last chapter. You guys, we are done with this book. I don't even know. I didn't bring my other book to go over tomorrow. So we'll see what we're going to do for tomorrow's morning motivation. But this one was a really, really, really good read. So the 9th chapter says, focus on what you will do and not what you won't do. Do you want to be successful, get promoted, quit smoking, or put the lid on your bad temper? Then plan how you will replace the counterproductive behavior with more constructive and profitable ones. Too often, people concentrate all their efforts on what they want to stop doing and fail to consider how they will fill that void. So all week we've been talking about successful tips. All week we've been reading out of this book and we've been talking about behaviors and how we are going to replace the behaviors that we no longer want to implement in our lives. So think about some of the things that you guys want to change, whether it's your spending habits. I know we talked about that. We talked about shopping. We've talked about, you know, dating and all of that. So what behaviors, so if you want to date, if you want to, you know, have a new relationship, Grand Rising KK, we want to have a new relationship, or we want to, you know, see, test the waters. So instead of like, I'm a homebody, I don't go out, I don't get myself together. How will you replace that with a positive or a different type of behavior? So maybe I will get my nails and hair done. I will put myself together so I'm more confident in myself, even if that might not be your zhuzh, whatever your zhuzh is. Or I will go out once a week, or I will go out to events or functions, or put myself out there to get out of the house to meet somebody new. So that's an example of replacing a behavior. So what, in what ways, what negative behaviors do you guys want to replace with positive ones? Because it says focus on what you will do, not what you won't do. So research on suppression, don't think about something, has shown that trying to avoid a thought makes it even more active in your mind. So the more we tell ourselves what we don't want, like I said, like, I don't want this type of person, or I don't want to do this, I don't want to smoke anymore, it's only going to further your mind, further your thoughts of doing the thing that you don't want to do. So good morning. So what we do, what we want to do is just really, really concentrate on just replacing it all together, like the book says. It says, the same holds true to when it comes to behaviors by trying not to do something. The impulse gets strengthened rather than diminished. If you want to change your ways, ask yourself, what will you do instead? For example, if you are trying to gain control of your temper by flying off the handle, you might make a plan as such. If I start feeling angry, then I will take 3 deep breaths to calm myself down. By using deep breaths as a replacement for giving it to your, by using deep breathing as a replacement for giving in to your anger, your success sabotage impulse will get worn away over time until it disappears completely. So in what ways can you guys replace any of your behaviors that you don't like so much? Maybe it's not a whole 100% toxic or negative, but it's like, you know what, I do this, it's really not serving me, it's not getting me closer to my goal. Good morning. How can I replace this? What can I do differently instead? It says, once you decided to make and if then plan, remember we talked about if then plan. So how an if then plan works, that if this happens, then I'm going to do this. If I want to impulse buy when I'm trying to stick to my budget, I'm going to go to my notes and look at my goals. And my goal is going to say, I want to stick to my budget. So the if then when plans, we have to implement that. So it said, once you decided to make the if then when plan to help you reach your goals, then the next thing you will need to do is figure out what exactly goes into it. According to new research, you need to be very careful about the way you word your plan, because one particular type of if-then plan can backfire, leaving you doing more of whatever you were trying to avoid doing in the first place. So this is very powerful. So we have to be very careful on how we word our goals, how we show up for ourselves, what we tell ourselves we will and won't do, because we don't want them to backfire. Like the book suggests, like if you tell yourself, well, I want to stop smoking, whatever you focus on, even if you're telling yourself what you don't want to do, is going to inevitably grow. It's going to, your urges are going to get stronger, and they're going to strengthen rather than weaken. And I had no idea until I read this book that that's how our brains work. Like, I know that whatever we focus on grows, but I did not know that something that you didn't want to do and focusing on what you don't want inevitably creates more of what you don't want. Good morning. So, let's see. It says it will backfire. So it says research from this university in Netherlands looked at 3 types of if-then plans. So the one is the replacement plan. So it says replacement plans do just what the name suggests, replacing negative behavior with more positive one. If you have a tendency to immediately say yes to every opportunity that comes our way, like some of us are over are overachievers, or we're perfectionists, or we're people pleasers. So we don't want to let people down. We want to show up at each and everything. I have a few, not in my current coaching class, but in my other coaching classes, where that was one of my clients' issues, is that she says, you know what, I want to do so many things. I have these particular goals, but I'm overworked. I'm overstressed because I can never tell anybody no. So it says, as replacing plan, do just what the name suggests, replacing the negative behaviors with more productive ones. If you have the tendency to immediately say yes to everything that comes your way, like my client did, and you end up with way too many pots on the stove, you might create an if then to replace that, such as if I'm offered a new project, or somebody comes to me with their issues or their goals or something that they want me to do for them, and my plate is already full, then I will think about it for at least 24 hours. So if you are a person who is inevitably a people pleaser, when people come to you with their needs, their wants, you know, I really need you to do this for me, I really want you to do this for me, and you already have a lot going on, instead of immediately saying yes, if you're a people pleaser, if you're somebody who just can't say no to folks, one thing that the book suggests is that you can replace that with waiting 24 hours. Like, okay, let me think about that and I'll get back to you in 24 hours. The same is true with the shopping. Remember, we talked about this the other morning, is if you are a person who loves to shop, one of the things that I suggested was, you know, go online shopping, but never check out. Never do that step. Now, but you have to know yourself. If you're strong enough, or not even strong enough, if it's not going to work, replace it with something else. Maybe you tell yourself, well, I only physically shop, if you are an online shopper. Or maybe, you know, you keep things in your cart for 24 hours before you purchase. Like, that's your new rule. I don't go grab my card right away. I leave the things in there for 24 hours to see if I really want them. Or if you are a shopper, sometimes I leave stuff at the counter and say, hey, let me think about this. I'll be back. Hold this for me. And if I really, really want it, I'll return. 9 times out of 10, I don't. So, and you want to be careful, because you don't want to put more work on the employees than need be. But what ways can you stop your impulses? What ways can you scale back doing things that you inevitably don't want to do or don't want to do? But you want to be careful on how you do that, like the book suggests. All right, it says, once you've decided to make an if-then plan to help reach your goal, the next thing you need to do is figure out what exactly goes into it. Patrice says, where the mind goes, the man follows. Ooh, I love that. According to new research, you need to be very careful about the way you plan. Oh, I already read that. My bad, y'all. So it says, if I'm offered a new project, then I'll think it over for at least 24 hours before responding. Thinking it over for 24 hours is a replacement behavior for a more adaptive response designed to substitute for whatever you usually do that gets you into trouble. So tell me if you guys want to share, what would you rather replace your behaviors with? So it says ignore. This is another one. So first we did the replacement plan. Now we do the ignore. The ignore plan. So if then plans are focused on blocking out unwanted feelings like cravings, performance anxiety, or self-doubt. If you have the urge to smoke, then I will ignore it. In this case, you are simply planning to tune out an unwanted impulse and thoughts in order to diminish their efforts on you. Now we know, and the book will also tell us later, that the ignore plan normally does not work, right? Because we're constantly trying to focus on it. So if you see your thoughts coming to you and you're trying to avoid it, like, hey, if I have an urge to smoke, I'm just going to ignore that urge. Or if I have the urge to shop, I'm just going to ignore that urge. Now, you have to know what type of person you are. You have to be very honest with yourself and know, hey, is this something that is going to work for me? And it says, finally, the negation. If then plan involves spelling out the actions you won't take in the future. These plans If there is a behavior you want to avoid, you simply plan not to perform this behavior. If I am at the mall, then I won't buy anything. Now you have to know yourself, because this won't work for a lot of people. Like if you're on a diet, like remember chapter 8 says don't tempt fate. If you're on a diet and you know that you're trying to avoid carbs, right? You got to avoid the bakery altogether. If you're a person who likes donuts, sweets, or anything like that, going maybe the opposite way in the grocery store, going straight to the back, because, you know, for whatever reason, produce, depending on how your grocery store is laid out, what I've noticed is some grocery stores put their bakery right next to their produce. And the produce is the number one place that we're supposed to go. If you research on how to grocery shop, one of the things that I learned a long time ago on Eat This, Not That is that you go outwardly. You start outside in the grocery store, going to produce first, and then working your way and then going through the aisle so that you have more healthier options in your cart was one suggestion. And that's normally how I shop. I go straight to produce. But what I'm noticing is in some grocery stores, how they lay it out, the bread, the cookies, the cakes, and the pies are in the front right next to the produce. And I think they do that. It has to be strategic. The way they lay out grocery stores, the way they position things, you know, that's why they put the little snacks and the last little grab items right by the register, so that we grab those right before we check out. So we're more inclined to purchase those things. So one of my grocery stores in the quote unquote nicer area has the bread way away from the produce. But when I go into more low income communities, I notice that the breads and the starches and the carbs are right next to the produce. So I'm wondering if that is a tactic that they use in our communities. I don't know. Or in the low income communities. But I do know that the way stores are laid out, even shopping stores, all of that is very strategic. So be careful when you're trying to avoid something, or trying to avoid certain things, because when you may try to avoid it, it might be right there in your face. So I thought that was interesting and correlated to this book a little bit. So it says, so finally, the negation. If the plans involve spelling out the action you won't be taking in the future, with this plan, there is a behavior you want to avoid. You simply plan to not perform this behavior. If I'm at the mall, then I won't buy anything. Remember, like I said, the carbs. So gotta be very careful where we're going with this. Ashley says, I need to replace being late to everything with going to bed late and not having a routine and living out of whack. Ashley, I don't know if you were here the day we talked about being late. Do you implement like your timers on your phone? That is one thing that I do. So I set multiple timers on my phone so that I'm not late. So for instance, if I have an appointment, I'll set the appointment for the time in my phone, in my calendar. Then there's a part where it says alert, where it can alert you up to 2 days before, all the way up to 5 minutes before. So normally what I do is, depending on the day, depending on what I need to remember, I'll set my timer for an hour before or 2 hours before. So that way I give myself time to get ready. I'll set alarms in my phone. So that way, you know, I'm never not on time to something. That can definitely help if you have something that's late. Girl, that snooze button has me. No, I'm not talking about alarm. Well, then I set multiple alarms. Like if I have to get up for morning motivation, right? I have a reminder on my phone the day before. I give myself ample time. So if I do hit snooze, because I'm a snoozer as well. But what I do is I give myself that option to snooze. I allot that snooze time in my time. Right. So if it's 10 minutes or if I want to snooze twice, I allow myself, I plan out that extra 20 minutes so that I'm not late, so that I'm not rushing. Good morning. So you have to figure out what stops you. But then you have to be disciplined. We have to get more disciplined with just being on time. The snooze button shouldn't exist. It does. But work it for you instead of against you. Instead of saying, you know, if you know you are a snoozer, like I'm a person, I know myself at this point. I do not like having to get up exactly when my alarm goes off. I don't like that. So for me, I make sure that I set those timers ahead of time. Yes, plan your snooze. It's totally okay to know that you don't like getting up. Like, that's the whole thing, is everybody's different, right? And knowing yourself and knowing how you operate is going to set you up for success. You're not going to be like everybody else. Some people can get up at 5 a.m. Some people can say, hey, my alarm's going off. I'm getting up. I'm going to be a rocket out the bed. I'm not like that. So I plan my snooze. I give myself extra time. So say if you have to get up at 5 or 8, set your alarm for 7:30. I have a few alarms. So I have the one that I know I have to get up. Right. Okay. So let's rewind. Let me take a breath. I'm excited because I love sharing productivity hacks. So, so say you have to get up at 8, right? So you set your alarm for 8 o'clock. Then you set another alarm so you don't miss that 8 o'clock, right? Because we can't miss the have to get up time. So that's my have to get up time. I'll set an alarm for 8 o'clock. Then I'll set up an alarm for like 7, 6:30, right? Because if I need an hour to get ready, I'll set an alarm for 7. Now, this is annoying for some people, but if you have a hard time with snooze, this may help you. So I have the 8 o'clock alarm. I have the 7 o'clock alarm. And say if I need that hour to get ready for that 7 o'clock, I'll set a 6:30 alarm so that I can snooze a couple times before I get up at 7. So I plan my snooze because I do like, you know, waking up and going back to sleep. For whatever reason, it works for me. For whatever reason, I'm not a big get up right now, because that just, it doesn't do anything for me. So that, because I know myself, which everybody has to, you know, be very honest with who they are, I just plan my snooze. So that gives you ample time in your day where I got my snooze time. Now I'm up. I have my hour to get ready. And when my alarm goes off at 8 o'clock, I know exactly that that's the time that I need to either leave or I need to get there or whatever the case may be. But you can have multiple alarms in your phone. You can have multiple things in your phone that alert you to help you stay on time. And to be honest, I'm dang near never late for anything, or I'm right on time, even though they say that that's late. But I'm dang near never late on anything, and I never miss things because I make sure that I constantly alert myself. I constantly give myself that buffer because I know I'm a snoozer. I love to hit the snooze button. I hit it every morning. There's not a morning that I don't snooze, and it annoys my honey, you know, because it's multiple alarms going off, but it works for me. I make sure that I'm on time. So implement little things like that in your day that will help you be more successful in whatever your goals are. So if you know you're late, then that's something that you can implement to make sure that you're not late, is implementing that snooze. And we did a whole video, and I'm going to film a productivity video, an updated one. I have one on my channel, but I want to film an updated one of showing you guys little hacks to always make sure you're on time, to always make sure you're staying on top of it. Because as adults, we can't use that excuse of I'm always late. I know that we do use it. I know that some people can get away with it, but you can miss a lot of opportunities. You have no idea of how somebody else is perceiving you being late, especially if they're waiting on you. Good morning, Key Amber. You want to make sure that you're respecting other people's time and your own, because we can't walk around in life acting like we have ample time and, you know, and we just, you know, don't respect time, because time is the most valuable thing we have, y'all. Like, we can never get time back. So we have to honor not only our time, but ourselves, you know, because when we disrespect our own time, we're disrespecting ourselves. When we don't show up for ourselves, when we don't do the things that we say we're going to do. And of course, we're human. We're going to make mistakes. I'm not expecting anybody to be perfect, and nobody should be perfect. But when you learn yourself, and you're honest with yourself, like, hey, this is the type of person I am, let me structure things to change. Because remember, we talked about that in 9 things successful people do differently, that we can change who we are, or we can, if we're programmed a certain way, we can set things up in ourselves and our lives to help us rather than hinder us. Or we can change, you know, give yourself room. We learn that we are not fixed. We know that we can have room of improvement, but if you tell yourself, whatever narrative you tell yourself is going to be your reality. If you tell yourself, I'm just always late, I'm a late person, I'm never on time, that is going to be your reality. Or you can say, hey, I'm a person that struggles with time management. Let me implement some things in my life that will help me be more on time. Let me implement things in my life to be more punctual. And to be fair, the times that I was early Like if, say, if you go to a conference and you're early, you can give yourself more time to network. You give yourself more freedom to not be in a rush. And that's just with everything in life. Like, there are certain people who always miss their flights. I don't understand. I always give myself ample time so I'm not rushing through the airport, so I can, you know, be relaxed. And when you give yourself that extra time or you're early, you get to network more. You get more benefits. Sometimes you get little treats and things. So it does really pay to be early, and it does pay to be on time, because you inevitably give yourself less stress. If you're constantly in a rush, not only are you wasting more gas because you're, you know, you're burning more fuel, but then it just sets your whole day in a domino effect of rush, 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 hurry, 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 hurry. Instead of just giving yourself some extra time, planning that snooze will allow you to just flow through your day and be more proactive than reactive. Because when we're rushing, we're out of control. We hit every red light. Everybody in front of us is going slow. You know, we didn't get to eat breakfast because we were rushing. So really think about what type of life you want. And if you know that that's an area that you have to work on, no matter what it is, whether it's overeating, whether it's oversmoking, drinking, alcohol, whatever the case may be, what life do you want? And then implement little ways to get that life. It does take time. There is going to be times where, you know, it don't work out, everything. But remember, the book suggests practice. We have to keep practicing, not to be perfect, but to be better, because we're in charge of our lives. We're responsible. So we can't just be carefree about certain things. You know, we have to be very proactive because we control our lives, us and God, you know, and there's so much outside of ourselves that we can't control. Good morning, Miss Debbie. But that's a way that we can implement a little bit more structure to help us be better. Candace says, Ashley, I need to remind myself to think of it as self-respect, because I really don't like when folks are late, but look at me. I love that. I love that. It is a sign of respect, especially when people value time. Like if you have a supervisor, or if you're in a community environment where time is everything to them, you don't want to be labeled as the person that's disrespectful when you know you're not a disrespectful person. You don't want to be labeled as the person who is late, or, you know, because people can, even though we don't necessarily want to spend too much time caring about what people's perception of us are, but we do want to put our best foot forward. We do want to be known as professionals. We do want to be known as people who can be respected and show up and honor what we say we're going to do, right? So, that's a part of it. So self-respect. I love that you said that, Candace. Yes, self-respect, but it's more so for ourselves than other people. Because if we show up the way we know we are meant to, if we show up the way that we know we want to show up, no matter what anybody says, if somebody says good morning,